Good morning. Happy Father's Day. We're going to be in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, if you've got your Bible. And as I mentioned at the beginning, that we're in this series, a vision series, for 8 weeks. We've done two of them already. And so we've talked about our mission, and we've seen that from the scripture of God's mission to fill the earth with his glory as the waters cover the seas. And how does he accomplish that mission? Well, he invites us into that we get to be a part of that mission, of that multiplication of disciples. And so he invites us into it. And so as part of our vision statement, that we want to be a church known for multiplication that's characterized by intentional discipleship. And so we're going to look these next 2 weeks at intentional discipleship. And so we're in Luke 9, but if you remember all the way back to Connection Group, if you're a member, that this class that we do that's 6 weeks and we talk about our values and our vision and all of those things in this class. And one of the things that we talk about in there as our value is that God's people is our method. And so this is one of our values as a church. And here's what we say about that. So what we're saying is that we focus on discipling through relationships. We want to help you get connected relationally so that God can use others in your life and God can use you to minister in others' lives. That we want relationships that help spur us on to grow and look more like Jesus. That means that discipleship is not an accident, it's not optional, but it's purposeful and it's personal. And so as we think through this of a church that's characterized by intentional discipleship, I think one of the things we have to do is first examine our own life as to what it means to be a disciple. And so Luke chapter 9 points us there that Jesus says this. Now earlier in Luke has written down this orderly account of Jesus's life in order that we might know it and understand it and grow from it. And so earlier in Luke, then Jesus had interacted with this tax collector, a guy who was kind of a shady character, and Jesus interacts with him and says, "Hey, Levi, come follow me." And there's an invitation to follow. And that's really what discipleship is there's an invitation. But Luke chapter 9, Jesus then begins to expand on this of what does it actually mean to be a disciple. So let's read Luke 9, 23 and 24, and then we'll jump through walking through this together. Says this, and he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Let's pray together and then we'll walk through this. Lord, would you help us this morning that we might grasp the depth of your word, that we might cling to the truth, that we might order our life according to what your word says, and that in doing so, we might experience the peace and the joy and the fulfillment and the purpose which you have for us. Lord, this morning, would you move in order that we might be changed? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is coming, if you just think in the whole line of the scripture, that Jesus has shown up and Jesus is saying, what we know is that he's going to turn the world upside down. He's going to transform the world through this message of the good news of the gospel. Now, if maybe you were in charge and you got to decide how you were going to transform the world with a singular message that those who come in faith and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord can be saved, can be transformed. If you were going to transform the world with that message, maybe you'd write it in the sky, right? Maybe you'd put it on one of those planes that flies around. Everybody sees those. Well, the scripture says that God kind of wrote that message in the sky. Maybe you'd look to your ragtag group of friends. If you just think about that, you probably wouldn't. I know most of y'all consider y'all friends. But maybe if we thought a little bit deeper about that, then it's like, well, wait a minute. I do know this guy. He's pretty good with internet stuff. He could probably blast that out. And I know this guy, he's got some pretty good connections. And so there might be some ways to get it out in that vein. Or maybe you have that friend that you can't go anywhere with them without them knowing somebody else. And so you're like, man, that friend would be pretty good to get this message out. So maybe if we thought about it, maybe this method that God chose of saying, I'm going to take a group of people and I'm going to pour my life into them, and then I'm going to send them out into the networks and to the places where they have influence, that they would carry this message with them, and that they would equip those people to take this message with them, and that they would equip those people to take that message with them. And as we saw last week, that when we multiply like that, it doesn't take very long to see this exponential growth, and that we can really get a message out to the ends of the earth. But Luke 9 tells us a little bit more about what it looks like to be a disciple. That these people that Jesus invited in, how does he expect them to live as he sends them out? And so let's just look at this passage. There's three questions that I think will guide us through this text as we look at it. And so the first one is to ask the question, who are you following? Jesus, again, he tells all those who are around him, he said to all, if anyone would come after me, or if anyone would follow me. That Jesus begins by just an invitation to follow him. This is not a generic spiritual path. This is not vague life principles. This is a call to follow a person, to follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I think sometimes we can confuse this with Christianity, that to be a disciple is not just a vague moral life principles. That to follow Jesus means a person that we have attached ourselves to, that we are walking in the path that he walked. Intentional discipleship begins with a deep commitment to a person of Jesus, not just teachings, but to his lordship. It's not just, I'm a Christian because I was born in the South, that this is a call to follow Jesus. So then the question is, who are you following? I think there's a lot of different things or people that we can follow in this life. And there are a lot of different things or people calling out and saying, follow me. Just open up your social media and you'll have invitations to follow me. What would it look like to follow one of those? To follow one of those systems or to follow one of those people? Well, you would have to order your life according to their life. And this is exactly what Jesus invites, is that we might attach ourselves to him. I was just thinking about this, that you know, if you got a letter in the mail that said, hey, follow this incredible adventure, and it listed off some instructions, unless you'd be like, spam, right? I'm not doing that. But what if one of your friends showed up and said, hey, come with me. Hey, I went here before, and I want you to experience it with me. You'd probably be a lot more likely to go, ah, you've been there. You know where you're going. You know what you're doing. I know the excitement that you had. I know the impact it had on your life. You've talked about it. And so there's an invitation to follow. This is what Jesus offers all of us. He says, come, follow me. It's an invitation, it's a personal invite to walk the path of the Son of God. That he would walk with us and that we would learn from him. The second thing that we see, the second question that I think we need to ask of ourselves and of the text is, what does this following require? Do you ever get a phone call from someone and they just begin the conversation, hey, what are you doing this weekend? If you own a truck, you know how to answer that. It depends. It depends. Right? That Why do we answer that way? Because we're weighing the cost. And so Jesus here in Luke 9 tells us what the cost of following him is. He tells us what is required of following him. There's three things that I want us to see in this, but let's just look at it. If anyone would come after me, then he says, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross daily to follow me. The three things I want us to see here is that the first he points out is that there's a denial of self. The second thing that we see is that we must take up our cross. And the third thing that I want us to see is that we must do this daily. So what does it require to follow after Jesus? It takes a denial of self. To deny yourself means that you surrender your rights. It doesn't mean that you hate yourself. It just means that you surrender your rights to rule over your life. It's that you hand over control. It means that you're not the boss anymore. It means that you don't set the direction. It means that you don't set the priorities. It means that you don't set the agenda that he does. To deny yourself means that someone else is in control and that someone is the person of Jesus. That he's invited you into this. That you lay down hopes and ambitions. That you lay down goals and comforts. It means that you deny what your flesh craves. But why? It's for a greater purpose, right? I think that this is helpful for us, that the why of this is that there's a purpose to doing this. It's not just merely that we should have a terrible life. It's that there's purpose. Well, my wife and I go up to Broken Bow with her family. It's a big family reunion. We cram all of us in a big cabin. One of the first years we went, then her brother said, hey, I've got this trail that I'd love to take you guys on. It's totally kid friendly. We've got two like little bitty kids at the time. And so we're like, okay. Not prepared to go on a multiple mile hike with small children and two pugs with smashed in faces that can't breathe anyway, right? Like, we were not ready for this journey. When backpackers talk about doing a through hike on like the Appalachian Trail or hiking up some 14er or something like that, then there are things which they lay aside in order to prepare for the journey. There's things which are not necessary and are actually a hindrance in the journey. You see, Jesus is telling us, come follow me. And you're going to need to lay aside some things which will hinder you along the way. That living for yourself will be a hindrance to the journey. That bringing along all the things which you seek to make much of this world will hinder you along the journey. So we must deny ourselves. But then in the putting off of something, he also tells us that we'll have to pick up something. So we lay down a lot of things and we pick up the cross. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says that when Christ calls a man, he calls him to come and die. That the call of Christianity, the call of Jesus to come follow me is a call to come and die. He says, you must take up your cross. Now, this may not carry a lot of weight for us, but in the day when Jesus spoke this, then the cross was the instrument of judgment. The cross was the instrument of humiliation. The cross was the instrument of death. That it was for criminals. It was to punish them in a way which would make an example to all those around that you don't want to be like them. So it's ironic that Jesus would say, if you want to come after me, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and you're going to have to pick up a cross. It means that you're going to have to die. Now, I think in the West, then a lot of times Christianity is beneficial. Even if you think of just a few years ago, if you sold insurance in a small town, then you better go to the Baptist church. It was beneficial to you to be a Christian culturally and in the world. But what if following Jesus was going to cost you your family? They'd deny you. They'd reject you. Is he worth it? What if to follow Jesus meant to lose your career and your income? Is Jesus worth it? What if to follow Jesus meant that you lost your reputation and you were ridiculed as a fool to the community? Would you proudly follow Jesus then? Is he worth it? See, I think it's helpful for us to ask the question that, would I follow Jesus if it cost me everything? That's what Jesus says it costs to follow him. He says you must take up your cross and follow me. But he says one more thing. He says that this isn't just a one-time decision and then you're done, as Tracy likes to talk about it, that the Bible tells us that we're living sacrifices. And so as living sacrifices, we present ourselves. The problem with a living sacrifice that you put on the altar is that that joker scrambles off because it doesn't want to die. And so Jesus says we have to daily pick up our cross and follow him. That this is a daily denial of self. This is a daily choosing that Jesus is worth it at all costs. You see, you can't follow Jesus and hold on to the things of this world. You can't follow Jesus and have it my way. You can't follow Jesus and get everything that this world says that you can have. You can't do it. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, then take up your cross, deny yourself daily. The third question that we see in this text is, why in the world would anyone do what I just said? Right? That's a legitimate question. You're asking me to give up everything. You're asking me to deny myself. You're asking me to surrender everything. Why in the world would I ever do that? Listen, if you can present the gospel to someone and they don't ask that question, like, why would I do this? Then we've missed what Jesus says, that to follow him is costly. That it costs everything. But Jesus says here that it's worth it. Why would we do this? Because it's worth it. Look at verse 24. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Jesus flips the world's logic right here. Whoever wants to save their life by trying to hold on to it, by trying to cling to it, by trying to make it happen, it will be like sand in your hands, which will just continue to disappear. But whoever loses his life, whoever takes up his cross, whoever denies himself, whoever surrenders to Christ, whoever loses his life for me will save it. If you try to keep control of your life and protect your plans and chase your comfort, you'll lose the very life that you're trying to preserve. But if you lose your life for Christ, you'll gain eternal life. And you'll find true purpose in this life. There's an illustration of this that Jesus talks about in the Gospel of John. And he says that there's a seed. And unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, then it can't bear fruit. That if that seed... As a botany major, I connect with this. If that seed were to hang on and say, no, I'm not gonna die. I'm gonna hold on to this. Unless it dies, and falls to the ground and then sprouts and then grows and then bears fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. Unless that seed dies, it will not bear fruit. The same is true in what we see here, that if you try to hold on to your life and be Lord of your life, control of your life, you won't bear fruit. But if you deny yourself, surrender to Christ, and live for Him, then He invites us into His mission of bearing much fruit. It's this incredible reality that we will save our life. So what does this look like? It looks like, well, how do you live this life of intentional discipleship? Well, let me just be very practical. It looks like opening your Bible tomorrow morning, not to check off a list, but to hear from the one that you're following. To hear the one that you have said, I'll follow you, and he says, let's go this way. That he reminds you that you can do it. Just take another step. That he reminds you that it's worth it. Just keep following me. See, we don't open the Bible in order to achieve some means, but in order that we might hear from him. It looks like inviting a younger believer to lunch. Or it looks like asking an older believer to go to lunch because you want to grow from their life. It's not because you're perfect or because you've got it all figured out or you didn't make any mistakes. It's because you're willing to walk together. I love the picture of, we were just at a wedding. Some people tried to make this happen. They tried to get a conga line going. It didn't happen. But if you've ever been to a conga line, then it's like, how do we do this? What do we do? Just follow me and do what I do. Okay. You see, that's really discipleship. Jesus has said, follow me and do what I do. And the person behind him says, follow me and do what I do because I'm following him. And then you go, hey, jump in line, follow me and do what I do. We don't have to complicate it a whole lot. You don't have to have all the answers to everything. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't even have to do it perfectly. But we can follow Jesus and invite others to follow us as we follow him. It looks like obeying Jesus when it's costly. When it might cost you the promotion at work, you follow Jesus. It means following Jesus with your family. When you come home from work and you're tired and you just want to chill, it's time to clock in because you're there to disciple your family, to do what I do. It means that Jesus is worth it in obeying him when it's going to cost you your finances, because his ways are best. And he invites us into a life of purpose and meaning and joy. With this vision, we're not trying to build some brand. What we're trying to do is become a people, a whole church in a conga line of going, hey, jump in line, follow us. That in the network that you have of your friends which are in IT, that your friends which have political influence, with your friends that know everyone in town, that you would say, hey, follow me. I'm following Jesus, and it's worth it. It's costly, but it's worth it. We don't want just more programs. We want more disciples that do this everywhere they go. People who love Jesus deeply, who follow him daily, and who multiply that life in others. Intentional discipleship is the engine that will drive multiplication. Disciples multiply disciples, churches multiply churches, And as that multiplication happens, God's glory fills the earth. What does it take? Costs everything. Is it worth it? Oh yeah. It's a life of purpose. It's a life of peace. It's a life of joy. It's a life of following Jesus for all of eternity. It may not be convenient, but it's about commitment. It's not about casual Christianity. It's about the costly discipleship that Jesus invites us into. And he says, you can do this. I showed you how. Now, as an aside, real quick, I just want to address the fact that some of us don't disciple because we're afraid of messing it up. We're afraid that, well, we'll get this wrong. I just love this because Jesus gives us this invitation in the midst of the story of his life. Now just track with me for just a minute. Jesus hand selects these guys. Jesus did everything perfectly. He lived a perfect life. He hand selects these guys. And if you read the Gospels, there's great comfort in this. Because when you look at the way that these guys responded to the ultimate master teacher who did everything right, then you're like, man, I could be in good company when disciples fail. Because Jesus' disciples failed over and over and over. And he hand selected them. And he was the perfect teacher. Jesus' disciples even denied him, even to the point of death and betrayal. Listen, when we lay our life down in following Jesus and then invite others to come follow us and we pour our life into them, I'm telling you, it is fraught with difficulty. But you're in good company. And just remember that the one that you're following can turn around and look at you and say, hey, I've been there. I know what that's like. Let's keep going. Hey, I know what betrayal feels like. Hey, I know what disciples that backslide look like. I know what discipleship that is frustrating looks like. And he says, but you're here because we didn't give up. Because the message continued to be passed on to faithful men who will be able to teach others. To the next disciple who would teach the next one. Listen, this vision is so inspiring for us. It's not fake. It's real. The scripture is real in that it tells us the failures and it tells us that this is fraught with pain and hardship. It tells us that it will cost you everything, but it tells us that this is worth it and it is the only thing that will give you meaning and purpose and fulfillment in your life because it's what you were created for. Listen, we can be these people, a church known for multiplication, characterized by intentional discipleship. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you help us to do this? Well, I just love the story of the scripture which you've given us in order that we might know you, in order that we might walk according to your ways, that tells us of all of these things which we'll encounter and we'll face, and that we won't be alone, and that you're with us, and that you've equipped us for this. And God, that this has purpose and meaning for our life. Lord, would you help us to be these people? Disciples who daily take up our cross to follow after you and display the worth of what that journey looks like to the world for your glory, for our good. We ask it in Jesus' name.